posted class, like, from last week about the hair.
Someone comes in.
2 weeks ago we talked about the iron and the nose hair, and then we're going to talk about the hair. We're not cutting hair.
Yeah, that was that's definitely been posted. We're
will
up
you
to
review, though, that?
We're actually moving into a new topic today, so okay. I think that I'm going to...
We should just listen.
Yeah, because it's really... It's sort of a separate subject, so, and we will get back to it actually, and sort of if you were at the end of the story, so I think we're going to, I want to move forward, because we're still in chapter 13. We have been moving, we've gone all over the place, but we actually are still in chapter 13.
Oh, yeah, because tomorrow's the 6th class.
All right. It's been a long time since we actually read this parak, and today is the beginning of a short unit where I want, in which I want to actually explore the text itself and the dynamic of Manoach and his wife, which is really, from a textual perspective, the core of this part of the story. We've done a lot of philosophical insights into Shimshon and what it means to be a Nazir and what it means for his mother to be barren and the mission that he's designated for, sort of discussed the foundations of the story of Shimshon. I want to go back today and look at the text itself. So, since it's been such a long time since we actually read this parak, I thought it would be a good idea if we reread this parak.
Mm-hmm.
13. And as I read it through again, what I'd like us to try to do is focus on the dynamic of the relationship between Manoach and his wife. What are they each hearing, seeing, saying? What can we derive from that about Manoach, about Eshet Manoach, who, for some inexplicable reason for now, is never named in the story? What is it about her that we can derive? So we're going back to the beginning of chapter 13, starting with Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Vahi ish echad mitzorah memishpachat Adani ushmo Manoach, v'ishto hakara v'lo yalada. There was a man from Tzorah, tribe of Dan, his name was Manoach, his wife was barren, without child. Vayera malach Hashem el ha'isha. Malach Hashem normally means an angel. We'll see momentarily that she doesn't perceive this individual to be an angel. She perceives it to be a Navi of some kind, or a man of a godly man. But nonetheless, Malach Hashem appears to her. You are presently barren. You will conceive and have a child. Here are the instructions. Guard yourself, be careful, not to drink wine or strong drink. Who is not allowed to drink wine? She is. She is. The restriction is on her. Ve'al tochli kol tamei. Nor eat anything that is tamei. So let's take a break for a second and just talk about this phrase kol tamei. I was going to go through the sources on it, but it's really tangential to our issue. The phrase kol tameh, as far as the prohibition of what she's allowed to eat, and for Shimshon as well, he's not allowed to eat anything that is kol tameh, is problematic. Problematic for several reasons.
She's not a bad kohen or anything.
Right. So if it refers to the word, when we talk about food being tameh, there are two types of food that are tameh, or that fall under the term tameh. One is just like any form of tumor, food that contracts tumor or that is susceptible to tumor, like a person can become tameh if he comes into contact with the dead person or with the sherets or with other forms that can other people who are tameh. A metzorah is tameh, items can become tameh, kli can become tameh. That's one form of tumor. the problem with the suggestion, and that's one possibility, that she's, that what it's saying is that she may not eat anything that is become tame. The problem with that definition is halachic, meaning that there is no prohibition against a person eating food that is tame. Normal food is not prohibited if it becomes tame. We are all in a state of tumat mate, right? We are all in a state of tuma. We touch food all the time, and nobody says you're not allowed to eat food if it's tame. So there is no such prohibition. The only prohibition against food that becomes tame is for a kohen, and specifically regarding kodshim, sanctified food, things that relate to the korbanot or truma. So Shimshon is a Nazir, he's not a Kohen. There's no issue of Kachim here. So to suggest that he can't eat food that is Tameh is problematic. The other definition of food that is Tameh, in halachic terminology, the other application of the phrase Tameh means
food that's found on the road that's...
No. It's a completely different application of the word Tameh.
Food that isn't kosher?
Right. In the Torah, the term used for an animal that is of a species that is prohibited is a behemat tme'a. Go back to the story of Noach. Right? The behemat tohara, 2x2. Behemat she'enena tohara, seven. Behemat she'enena tohara, 2x2. In other words, there was a distinction already made in Parshat Noach between animals that have a state of being by their very species. It's being tameh versus tahor. So an animal that is prohibited to eat, either because it doesn't chew its cud or because it doesn't have split hooves, is called a behema tme'a. There, the term tame doesn't mean something which is contracted to become tame, but rather something which is inherently forbidden because it is tame. So ochal tame can be a reference to prohibited food, meaning prohibited species of animals. That, too, is a problematic definition here because...
She already is not supposed to eat.
Right, we're all prohibited to eating ochel tameh. It's not unique to a nazir or to eshet manoach. So from both perspectives, we're left with a little bit of a quandary as to what this word tameh means. The Mefarshim split over it. Some suggest that the regimen of a nazir here was unique, in that because of the added level of Kedusha, there was a chumrah taken upon Shimshon and his mother not to eat any food that became Tameh, even if it was chulin, if it wasn't sanctified food. It's a concept known in Halacha as chulin al tarat kodesh, to eat non-sanctified food in the regimen of kodshim, temple meat. It's a possibility that that's what the phrase means. The problem becomes more a problem of application. Later we already saw what comes later, which is the story of his eating the honey out of the carcass of the animal, which is problematic if you're talking about food that is become tummy, because that certainly would have become tummy. The other interpretation, which I think fits more the pshat in terms of pshat, is that the word is a third application of the word tummy. And the word tameh can mean something which is prohibited to you. Tameh, tameh hu lachem. Person is tameh, meaning that something is tameh to you because you can't eat it. In the same application that a animal that you're not allowed to eat, a species, is called a behemat tameh, because you have to distance yourself from it, you're not allowed to eat it, that's prohibited to you, essentially becomes a synonym for that which is aser. Now, a nazir has restrictions on food that an ordinary person doesn't have. Besides the drink, specifically, grape seeds, grape skins, any derivative of the grape itself. Whereas the restriction on a nazir is not only on drinking alcoholic beverages, but any derivative of the grape fruit itself, even in a solid form. That's clearly mentioned in the Chumash itself.
That means raisins.
Raisins, grapes, seeds, anything. Correct. Not only in a liquid form. Not only in a liquid form. The phrase in the Chumash. Anything made from the grape or wine, from the peel to the seed, any part of the grape is essentially prohibited. Lo yochel, he may not eat. So from that perspective, kol tameh here could be a reflection of the restrictions of the nazir. May not drink wine. Not only wine, kol tameh, anything prohibited to a nazir. She has to conduct herself in that fashion according to the regimen of the nazir. That would be the simplest explanation of the phrase and avoid some of the more complicated issues that the Mefarshim raised.
Was that just while she's pregnant?
For her, it's while she's pregnant. For him, it's the rest of his life.
Go ahead.
All right. Excuse me?
From that time until after she gives birth.
Right, and the assumption because she's carrying Shimshon. So once Shimshon is born, that restriction for her no longer applies, but would be transferred to him. All right, back to Pasuk
K. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that the phrase had not given birth? Not only was she barren, but had not given birth?
Yeah, we talked about that a while ago. It's more an emphasis.
Okay.
Hold today, you are barren, meaning you are in a state of a woman who is considered barren. Now you will have style. I don't want to,
okay.
But you're right.
All right.
Yeah, it's an emphasis of status.
Okay, I just wondered.
Yeah. Okay, Pasuk K. Ki hinach harav yoladet ben, for the second time, the Malach says to her, behold, today you are barren, but you will conceive, and you will have a child. Umora lo yaleh al rosho. And you may not take a razor to the child's head. Ki nazir elakim yeh nara min abata. Child shall be a nazir from birth. V'hu yachel lo shiret Yisrael miyad plishtim. This child will begin to save Israel from the plishtim. Part 1. Part 2. V'tavo ha'isha v'tomer le'isha. Lemor, ish ha'lokim ba'elai. A man of God came to me. Isha Elokim is a reference used throughout Tanakh to refer to a Navi. Mm-hmm. Moshe Isha Elokim appears throughout Tanakh. Eliyahu is called Isha Elokim. Elisha Elokim is called Isha Elokim. Mar'ehu ki mar'eh malach Elokim nora ma'od. And he looked like a malach. And it's clear from the end of the story, when he goes up in a puff of smoke, Az yadam anach v'ishto ki malach Hashem hu, that they really at this point don't know that they're talking to a malach. They really think that she thinks that they were talking to Isha Elokim. V'lo shiltiu emi zehu v'etshmo lo higidli. I didn't ask his name. He didn't tell me. Which is a very strange piece of information to volunteer. It's just the dialogue sounds stilted. A man came to me, a Navi came to me, I didn't ask his name, and he didn't tell me. I didn't ask where he was, and he didn't tell me his name. So I suspect, although it doesn't say so, but I suspect that there's a give and take in this dialogue. There's a back and forth that's just shorthanded. In other words, she starts the conversation, Isha Elokim ba'elai, a Navi came to me. Umareu kimareh malach Elokim, he looked godly. To which Manoach probably responded, where is he from? Because most Nevi'im are identified by their location. And she said, Lo shelti you, I didn't ask. And he said to her, what was his name? And she said, V'chmo lo yigidli, I didn't ask his name, he didn't tell me. It wasn't important to me to ask who he was, where he was from. I saw Anisha Elokim. It looked like a malach. It was sufficient for me to take him at face value. I didn't have to go and cross-examine him. Vayomer li, hinach harav yeladet ben. He instructed me, he told me, you're going to have a child. And here are your instructions, not to drink wine, not to eat anything that is tameh, meaning, going back to our interpretation, anything prohibited to a nazir. Because the child is a nazir from birth to death, meaning even in utero this child has to be a nazir, and the child eats what their mother eats, and therefore I may not drink wine or eat anything of the grape.
Rabbi, can we attach anything to the significance of the fact? I mean, the conversation about the Ish Elokim or the Ma'av seems almost matter of fact. I mean, as if this isn't an uncommon event.
We don't
have any kind. I mean, they're talking about it almost as if, at least the tone is like it's. They ran into somebody on the street.
Well, the tone I can change.
Yeah.
Would you like me to change the tone? It's very easy.
Vatavoi
isha vatomer leisha isha lokim baylai umareu kimar. In other words, the tone is how you read it. I don't think it was a matter of fact. I think it was significant for her. What was perhaps more matter of fact than we would give her credit for is the fact that she thinks he's a malach, a navi. Neviim were not uncommon. More common, they are much more common later in history, days of Shmuel, etc. At this point in time, given the spiritual state of the Jewish people, the state of the Mishkan, the state of the level of Shechina amongst the people, I think the state of Nevuah is very weak, but it exists. So it's not impossible, her story is not implausible. A Navi came to me. I think it would be more implausible if she had really thought she was talking to a malach, which is what happens at the end. And at the end of the story, when they really discovered they're talking to a malach, Manoach explodes. Oh, we're going to die. We saw a malach, we're going to die. And you remember her response?
If you wanted you dead, you'd be dead already.
If you wanted you dead, you'd be dead already, essentially. I mean, she says, if God wanted us dead, he wouldn't have bothered telling us a mission and telling us about being a Nazir and telling us, and he wouldn't have shown us all this. That almost sounds like if she says to him, Manoach, you're an idiot.
That's the way it came to her.
Right. Which, calm down. So we'll come back to that. It's a very important part of the story because it's really the beginning of our analysis of the dynamic of Manoach and his wife. But I want to start, we're going to get to that at the end. Well, I wanted to start from the beginning. That's part two. Part two is she relates the story to Manoach. Part three, Pasuk Chet. Vayetar Manoach al Hashem vayomar. Manoach. Manoach, Vayetar Manoach al Hashem. Noach beseeches God. Now the phrase Vayetar as a phrase of prayer actually appears in Chumash.
Is that where Yitzchak prays for Rivka?
Right. It's the same word used for Yitzchak praying for Rivka, for
a
son.
Very unusual word.
Correct.
For prayer.
And it basically means to beseech, to pray fervently. More than just prayer, but
what's the root of
grammatically?
I have to look at Rashi
and Rashi has a whole analysis of it in the beginning of Parshat.
And what about the word Atarim for special places?
No, that's with an olive.
It's an
olive. Vayoma, Bi Hashem, Ish Elokim Asher Shalachta Yavona Od Eleinu. Remember that man of God whom you sent yesterday, that Navi? Send him back. So that he can instruct us what to do with this child. Now, it's a very strange request for a number of reasons. What's strange about this request?
They already know what to do with this
child. She's just told him what to do with the child. I think she made the instructions quite clear. That's unclear why he really wants this Isha Lakim to come back.
Well,
we're going to see whether he believes it or not. That's an issue I'm going to come to at the end.
Okay.
Whether he believes it. Vayishma ha'elokim b'kol manoach. God is very accommodating. And vayavo malach ha'elokim od el ha'isha. and the Ish Elokim, the Malach, comes back. We call that the second coming. It's the real second one.
It's interesting that Manoach is the one that asked for him to come. And
when he comes to her.
And he comes back to her.
Right.
He always comes to her. Correct. Oddity.
You want to know why she's
Eishes
Manoach.
And she's always Eishes Manoach. V'hi yoshevet basadeh. U'manoach isha ein ima. Again, to emphasize, the Malach comes to her when she's alone without Manoach. Mm-hmm. Clearly. Now, this time she gets smart. Although she's always smart. V'temaher ha'isha v'tarotz v'taged l'isha. Before engaging with this Malach in any kind of conversation, she goes running to her husband and says to her, "V'tomer elav v'nei nira elai ha'ish asher ba b'yom elai." The man, he's back. The Ish Elokim, you wanted to see him? Yaakov Manoach, Yaakov Ayelach Manoach, acharei ishto. Manoach arose and went and followed his wife. Remember this phrase. Come back to it when we look at the sources. Chazal have a lot of they read into this phrase a significant message. We'll see what that message is. That he followed her. Ve'avo el ha'ish. Ve'yomer lo hayta ha'ish asher dibarta el ha'isha. Are you the man who spoke to my wife? Ve'yomer ani. I am. So tell me, what do we do with the child? What are the laws? What are the restrictions? What do we have to do? So now I have the Malach. He's the Navi, Malach slash Malach. He's come all the way back to Manoach because Manoach is confused. So what do you think the Malach says to her? No, sorry, says to him. V'yomer Malach Hashem Manoach. Whatever I told her, do. She must do. Tishamer. She must do. Careful. The grammar here is confusing. The focus is on her. Whatever I instructed her, she must obey. Now, just in case you didn't get it the first time, Mikola she me gefen yayin lotachal, she may not eat anything that comes from wine or grape. Nor may she drink any kind of wine or alcohol. V'chol tuma al tochal, nor eat anything prohibited. / to a nazi. Kol asher tzivitia tishmor. Whatever I instructed her, she will do. Manoach is still not satisfied. V'yomer Manoach malach Hashem. Natzlana otach v'nasela fanecha gedi izim. My dear Navi, why don't you stay for lunch? We'll make you a goat, we'll make you that. Well, have a home meal. V'yomer Malach Hashem Manoach, Im ta'atzeni lo achal b'lachmecha, if you stop me here, if you hold me back, I will not eat of your bread. Im ta'aseh olah la'Hashem taleni, you want to make an offering, make it to God. Ki lo yada Manoach ki malach Hashemu, for the third time. He doesn't know he's talking to a malach. Here it's explicit. He thinks he's talking to a man, a human being, a navi, offered him a meal, and the malach refused. And here you have the verse that I think reflects probably the biggest distinction between Manoach and his wife. Because Vayomer Manoach, Malach Hashem, Mishmecha. Manoach asks the question that his wife specifically said, I did not ask. Which is, what's your name? He wants to know what his name is, Ki Yavod Dvarecha V'Chibadnucha, so that when your words come true and we have a child, we can give you honor, we can make a kiddush for you. V'yomer lo malach Hashem, Lama zeh tishal lishmi, V'hu peli. You don't need to know my name. It's hidden from you. Of course it's hidden. Malachim don't have names. They have functions. So a malach who serves function A has a name that reflects the function. They don't have identities unto themselves, names. Manoach takes the goat and he brings it on, takes it on the rock and makes it like turns it into some kind of an offering. It's a wondrous thing that happens. As the flame goes up to Shemaim, Vayal Malach Hashem Balav HaMizbech. The flame goes up. The Malach Hashem went up with the smoke. Umanach Vishtoraim Vayplop Nehem Arza. They see and they fall on their faces. Velo Yasaf Od Malach Hashem Lehera Ola Manach Velishto. When the Malach Hashem did not come back, did not reappear, it's one thing to disappear. Not the thing altogether to disappear in smoke. It's another thing altogether when the smoke clears and to be nowhere to be seen in an open field. As yada Manoach ki Malach Hashem. Then Manoach really got it. Then he got it. Then he realized, oh, this is a Malach. And then we have the most dramatic part of the dialogue. Vayomer Manoach Elishto. Manoach says to his wife, Ot namut ki Elokim ra'inu. We saw God. We're going to die. Which is exactly what God, what Bnei Yisrael said after Mamre HaSinai. V'tomer lo ishto, his wife said to him,
dummy.
Right. You idiot. It doesn't say that in the text, but you can hear the intonation. Lu chafetz Hashem lahamitenu lo lakach medenu olam mincha. If God wanted to kill us, he first would not have bothered taking our offering. V'leheranu olanu et kolele. He wouldn't have shown us all of this. V'ke'et lo shmi'anu kazot. And he wouldn't have instructed us so. And of course, the rest of the story, V'telet Aisha ben, V'tekar Shmo Shimshon, Megdal Anar V'yimachayu Hashem. She gives birth to a child, calls him Shimshon. Child grows up, God blesses him, and Atachal Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo B'machane Dan, God's, the Ruach Hashem begins to beat in the tribe of Dan, Ben Sorah Ben Eshtal. I want to go back to the question of the name of the Malach. There are two critical dialogues that demonstrate a clear, distinct distinction in perspective between Manoach and his wife. Besides the fact that Manoach wants this Navi to come back and repeat the instructions, which we're going to have to understand why, but there are two places where Manoach and his wife talk to each other, and you see and you feel, you hear that they're operating on different planes. The first is when she says to him, I didn't ask the Malach's name, I didn't ask where he was from, I didn't cross-examine, I didn't question.
And he didn't tell me.
I didn't ask, he didn't tell me. And Manoach, the first time Manoach sees this Isha Elokim, the first thing he says to him after the instructions is,
what's your name?
You hear the distinction in perspective. So the first question is, why is it that each one has, why is there such a distinction in approach between Manoach and his wife as to the name of this Isha Elokim? And remember, they think they're talking to a Navi. It's not like they both think they're talking to a Navi.
Because she has more name than he does.
So on the face of it, it would seem that she seems to have more emuna than he does. And that's really the question that I want to start with. Her emunah, I think, is clear. Now, it's more than just emunah. Think about the implication of the fact that she is barren, and by the virtue of the fact that the Navi says to her, Malach says to her several times, at akara v'lo yaladet, you are barren. It means not just that, you know, you're waiting and you're trying and you're not having a child. It means that you've really reached the point where you are in status and identity in
being barren.
You are now considered barren. It's not going to happen. Either because you're too old or it's been too long, Sarah style, it's not going to happen. And there comes along a Isha Elokim. She thinks it's a human being. She has no idea that it's a Malach. He says, you're going to have a child. Sarah was told the same message. And Sarah Imenu
left.
Eshet Manoach runs back to her husband and says, guess what? Now, it's possible that Sarah was 80 and it's possible, or 90, it's possible that, or 89 actually, it's possible that Eshet Manoach was
younger.
A little younger. She's out in the field, she's running back, right? She's a little more. But nonetheless, it's still a remarkable distinction. The Ramban in Parshat, Vayera, where Sarah hears the message and she laughs, the Ramban picks up on this point. And it's really remarkable because from Eshet Manoach you can extrapolate the criticism to Sarah. If Eshet Manoach believed him, why didn't Sarah? And the Ramban actually has a remarkable suggestion as to why it is such, why it is so that Eshet Manoach, that Sarah did not believe, and why that was critical of him or of her, and Eshet Manoach does. So let's take a look at this Ramban. It's really, it's a remarkable piece. Source number two. Somebody have you have to chair because unfortunately I was a little late today and I didn't have time to do extra copying. So you just share. First of all, in source one, I don't want to go through it all, but source one is a passage in the Medrash in which the Medrash talks about the confusion between Malach and Navi. It's not uncommon for to be confusion between Malach and Navi. We saw it here. They think that they're talking to a Malach. They think they're talking to a Navi. We saw it also in another story in Sefer Shoftim. An individual was talking to a Malach, thought he was talking to a Navi until the Malach disappeared. And then in the smoke of a korban, and then realized suddenly he was talking to, it's almost the identical story. Remember who? Gideon. Correct. Almost the identical story. And so the Medrash picks up on the fact that the Nevi'im, how can you have a confusion between a Navi and a Malach? So the Medrash says, Nikra'u ha-Nevi'im Malachim. The Nevi'im were also called Malachim. Malach means a messenger. A messenger can be an earthly messenger. A messenger can be a messenger of an individual, of a human being. A malach can be a messenger of God as an individual. And a malach can be a malach in terms of an angel-type messenger. So the Medrash goes through a whole series of examples of where you see that a human being, as a Navi, is called a malach in the sense of being a malach Hashem. Yikru'u ha-Nevi'im malachim. For example, Vayishlach Malach Vayitzienu Mimitzrayim. Pasuk in Bamidbar that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Vayishlach Malach, I sent the Malach and I took you out of Egypt. Who was the Malach? The Malach was Moshe. Or another couple of psukim. In the end of this Medrash, the Medrash quotes our pasuk about three quarters of the way down, where it says, two-thirds of the way down, V'rabanan amre ishto shomanoach, ma ita omeret lo, hinei ish elokim ba elai, ve'umareu kemare malach elokim, kasvura bo shehu navi, ve'eno ela malach. Explicitly, the Medrash identifies the fact that she thought he was a navi, when in fact it was a malach. And the Medrash ends with the most famous example of them all, Chagai malach Hashem, v'yomer Chagai malach Hashem b'malachut Hashem. Pasuk in Sefer Chagai, Chagai ha-Navi, in the book of Treasar, one of the Nevi'im of Beit Sheni, and the text describes him as Vayomer Chagai Malach Hashem, a Malachut Hashem, Malachut meaning the mission of God. Says the Ramban, Vatikachesh Sarah Leimor, when Sarah denied the word, when the Malach said to Avraham, Hinei Ishtecha Harav Yoledet Ben, says, and Sarah laughed, and then after she laughed, she denied it. Right? When the Malach confronted her, she denied having laughed. Says Ramban, question we all ask, Ani tema b'neviyat tzedeket. Ech tikachesh ba'asher amar Hashem l'navi. How could she deny that which the Navi says? How could she say, not going to happen? Malach Hashem says to Avraham, you're going to have a child? And she dismisses it. V'gam lama lohem mina li divrei malach Hashem. Not only does she dismisses it, and then she denies having dismissed it. The whole concept, dialogue there is confusing. So he says, V'anira b'einai, ki ha-malachim ha'ela ha-nir'im ka'anashim ba'ol Avraham. Remember, these malachim, they didn't look like malachim. They looked like people. Ordinary people. When Avraham first sees them, He sees three ordinary people. He goes running out to them and he says, come in, wash your feet. He's not talking, he doesn't conduct himself, doesn't sound like he's talking to a malach. He, at some point or another, realizes that he's talking to malach. What point that is open to debate in the story. But at some point, he, in his engagement with them, realizes these aren't ordinary people, these are exceptional, these are malach. They told him, we're going to come back next year, and Sarah's going to have a child. What do the pasuk say? V'sarah shama'at. Sarah heard, which means she wasn't there with him. She's listening. She's in the other room. She's in the other tent. She heard. And therefore she didn't realize they were malachim. Avraham's engaged with them. So Avraham understands intuitively who they are. Kinyan be'eshet manoach, similar to eshet manoach, v'ulay lo ra'ata otam klal. She doesn't know they're malachim, just like eshet manoach didn't know it was a malach. Maybe she never even saw them. She's in a completely different tent. Remember, Avraham goes running to her and says to her, and when the Avraham asked, when the malachim asked Avraham, where is your wife? And he says, hinei sarah ba'oah. She never even saw them. What she heard a voice. So she saw three complete, total strangers. Nomads, traders, whatever it is.
She thought they were people.
Walking into the house, Avram's giving them food, because that's not that's not extraordinary. And they said, oh, your wife will have a child. They've never seen her. They've never seen her, she's never seen them. So they don't know that she's 90 years old, and she doesn't know that these are malachim. So v'titzchak b'kirba. So she left, she dismissed the lag, she made fun of it. Yishak Hashem lag lamo. And the Rambam picks up on the phrase, Vatishak bikirba. She laughed internally. When you laugh internally, that reflects dismissal. The phrase, one of the questions about the term schok in that context is that it says it twice. It says that she, Vatishak sara bikirba, but it also says that Avraham was tzochek. And the Mefarshim will pick up, why is it when Abraham laughs, it's considered commendable, and when she laughs, it's considered not commendable? Ki haschok l'simcha hu bepeh. When you are joyful, you laugh out loud. Az yimalei schok pinu. Schok in our mouth means joy. Aval haschok belev, When you laugh inside, lo yomar b'simcha. That's not because of joy. That's because of dismissal.
Well, she was the person that was going to have a baby at 100 or whatever.
Correct.
She
and she sees two complete, three complete. In other words, what the Ramban is saying is, if she understood what Avraham understood, which is that these are malachim, of course she would never have doubted. And we're talking about Sarah Imenu. If she for a moment thought that these were a mission, this was a message from God, of course she would have accepted it. But at that moment in time, these malachim are disguised. And it's only after she laughs that the malachim reveal themselves. And Hashem says, why did she laugh? And then she denies it. She says, I wasn't laughing at you. I wasn't laughing at the Ribbono Shel Olam. I wasn't dismissing a nevuah. I didn't think they were nevi'im b'chlal. I thought they were two, three complete strangers. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why was she held accountable? Why was she criticized for it? V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu he'eshim ota l'Avraham. Lama ya davar nimna b'enea? V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizes her, not because of a disbelief of God's power, because three ordinary people are going to tell a 90-year-old woman she's going to have a child. What else are you going to do except laugh? But ra'ui l'shetamin, her response was the wrong response. Her response should have been, not that these are the malachim, and the malachim are telling me b'nevuah that I'm going to have a child. Three hedyota, three ordinary people walk into the house and say, she'll have a child. Her response should have been, halavai, halavai, amen, halavai.
Rabbi, is there a difference?
Yeah, that's what you can't deny what the Chumash says. The Chumash holds you accountable for something. So the alternative is worse. Believe me, the alternative is worse.
Is there a
difference in interpretation of tzchok when it's a tzadi or when it's a sin? Because here you have, I mean, you have it with a tzadi and you have it with a
not really.
Sin. So it's both laugh.
It's both, yeah. What he's saying is that it's a difference between whether it's befer or belev.
Okay.
Which makes sense in terms of character. But what's extraordinary is this comparison to Eshet Manoach. Eshet Manoach, what he's saying essentially is that what Sarah is criticized for is not having that level of complete extraordinary emunah that Eshet Manoach has. Here the Navi comes to Eshet Manoach, who's probably of the same age or similar, and says, it's some cell phone, sucker, don't worry about it, and says, you're going to have a child. Instead of arguing, instead of dismissing, instead of saying, who are you, and where do you come from, and how do you know, and what's your source, she goes running home as if, okay, done, I got to become a Nazir, this is going to happen. Right. It's the comparison, says the Ramban, is her emunat tmima, her simplicity of faith, her total, complete, devotional commitment to an extraordinary message to Sarah's moment of, let's call it a moment of weakness, where even though she knows, she doesn't think she's talking to Malach. You know, there's a Gemara that says, "Al tihi bekat hedyot kala beinecha." Don't let the bracha of a hedyot be taken lightly. Even if a bracha comes from the most unexpected and extraordinary and inappropriate source. Who is there to give me a bracha? Nonetheless, when you're at that point and at that level, you have to take a bracha wherever it comes from. And that's essentially the level of critique. Take a bracha wherever it comes from, even if you thought it was an ordinary person. Park the story of Sarah for a second. The story of Eshet Manoach, the comparison and contrast, is really extraordinary. Which only begs the bigger question, and the real question for the subject of this shiur, which is not Eshet Manoach, because I think we have a lot of respect for Eshet Manoach. The real question is
Manoach.
The real question is Manoach. His behavior is really inexplicable and needs a greater depth, understanding. On the one hand, he's constantly challenging. He challenges her. Challenges her for a repeat performance of the experience of the Navi. It's not good enough that the Navi came to her. The Navi's got to come to him. And it's not good enough that she tells him what the instructions are. He's got to hear it straight from the... Well,
source.
Source's mouth is a little bit inappropriate for a Malach, but all right, straight from the source. She doesn't ask his name. The first thing he says is, who are you? What are your credentials? Prove it to me. He comes from Missouri, I guess. Right?
Show me.
It's really remarkable. And Chazal, in the Medrash, have a complete ambivalence of how to deal with Manoach. How to relate to Manoach. Is he one of the great ones? There are many great ones in Tanakh. Is he one of the great ones? Or is he really reprehensible? Where does he fit into the picture? And the positions are extreme. The positions are extreme. I'll show you. I collected a couple of very contrasting sources because I wanted you to see how complex the story really gets. Let's start with the negative. Gemara in Erevin. Very famous passage. You're going to love this. You're going to love this one. No,
I can tell already.
Yes. Amar of Nachman, Manoach ha'ma'aretzaya. Manoach was a total ignoramus. Why? Because it says, V'yakam v'yelach Manoach acharei ishto. What man walks behind his wife? Now understand that in the context in which the Medrash is talking about, it's talking about basic etiquette of tznius. And the basic etiquette of tznius is that a man doesn't walk behind a woman.
Even your own wife.
even your own wife. Basic etiquette of sneers. It's less practiced today, but really? In the world, right?
Really?
Yes, really? Right? Less practiced today, right? But, right? Yes, in some circles it is. I meant within our circles, but yes, in some places it's still practiced today, in some. But that was etiquette of sneers. And it therefore would have been known. So the accusation is, if it says v'yakam anoch v'yelach acharei ishto, inappropriate. Clearly, he's an Amma Aretz. Now, that's one opinion. Matkif led of Nachum Bayitzchuk. If Nachum Bayitzchuk said, no, what are you talking about? Elamiyata gabi elkana dichti v'yelach elkana acharei ishto. What are you going to say about elkana? Same phrase appears by elkana. Nobody's going to say elkana was an Amma Aretz. Elkana is the whole beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Elkana was the Tzadik Ador. Or Elisha. Elisha's a Navi. Hachinami. So, what does it mean? So, the Gemara is not suggesting that, therefore, it's not inappropriate to walk behind the woman. The Gemara is saying that the phrase, Vayelech Acharea, doesn't mean literally behind her. Right? It means that she came, she had a request. So, following her request, the Navi went. Ela Acharea Dvareha. She was the one who came to the Navi and asked the Navi to come back to deal with her son. So Elisha went. Following her, go after God. It doesn't mean physically walking behind God. It means to follow the message and the footsteps. She was the one who said to him, no, come, the Navi is here. So he went. Amanavashi, however, says the Gemara, according to the first opinion, that of Rav Nachman, who says that Manoach was an Amma Aretz, not just an ordinary Amma Aretz. He was an unbelievable Amma Aretz. He was like the biggest Amma Aretz you could be. Because Afilu Beirav Lo Kara, he didn't even know a Pasuk and Chumash. It's not like he didn't know Navi, or he didn't know Mishnah, or he didn't know Gemara, or he didn't know Shas and Poskim, and therefore he was an Amma Aretz. He didn't even know a Pasuk and Chumash. Because it says by Vatakom Rivka v'narotea v'tirkav na'lagmalim v'telachna achare ha'ish. Pasuk says by Rivka. Rivka went v'telachna achare ha'ish v'lo b'fnei ha'ish, not in front. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So clearly, if you take it literally, Manoach is such an Amma Aretz, he didn't even know a pasuk in Chumash. Okay. Leaving the Medrash aside for a second, and I've mentioned this before, Midrashim, you have to understand the methodology of Medrash. Midrashim pick up on nuances. But these nuances, which where they talk about it, sound almost at times forced or contrived, but they really reflect a much clearer component of the story elsewhere, where it's more obvious and therefore less necessary to remark. In other words, if I looked at the story and I had to ask, what is it in the story that would tell you that Eshet Manoach was the greater, significantly greater, spiritual anchor of the family? What component of this story tells us that Eshet Manoach is really the spiritual giant here compared to Manoach?
Her
acceptance, her emuna, it's his challenge, and take it even one step further back.
The angel comes to her.
Right, the fact that the Malach constantly comes to her and not to him. So just the simple pshat reading of the text tells me that she's extraordinary in comparison to him at one level. It's one way of looking at it. And therefore, what the Medrash does is it picks up on the nuances. That which is obvious, Chazal didn't need to spell out.
It still goes back to why is she only Eshes Manoach? If she is such an important person, she should have her own name.
I appreciate that. She has her own name. It's virtually unpronounceable. We'll see it later. I'll quote it in the Medrash later on. But
this whole thing with asking who the name is. You know, it even seems more.
I think it's intentional that she doesn't have a name, but I can't
it's
prove
not
that.
The first time that we don't know.
Right, but here it's so extraordinary because of the role that she plays.
Right, and also they go back to the idea that. who asked and who didn't.
Right. Here it's extraordinary that she doesn't have a name. Yeah. I think that's true. I have a partial answer to that question, but I'm not ready. I don't have enough information okay, on the table to give it to you. So remind me to come back to it. Now, there's a flip side. I can't leave Manoach
hanging
there. There's a flip side. And the flip side is reflected in a completely different set of Midrashic sources. Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, which says the following. Amar Rav Yudan, kol makom shenemar b'lashon hazeh, meaning vayehi, the phrase vayehi, every time that phrase appears, vayehi ish echad, b'tzadikim, referring to righteous people, shakulhu kalamet aleph tzadikim kiminyan vayehi. When it says vayehi, as it in relation to a tzaddik, a great person, it's take the gematria of Vayehi, you get to 31. It's like they're equal to 31. It's not just ordinary people; these are extraordinary people. Ish echad, kol makom shenemar ish echad gadol hu. If it says ish echad, vayehi ish echad, it means that this is a unique individual. Because the comparison is to a Kadosh Baruch Hu shenema echad dechdiv Hashem echad ein ba'olam kayotzebo. Just as we say Hashem echad, unique, not just one. When it says vehi ish echad, it means extraordinary, unique. Beginning of Sefer Shmuel by Elkanah, vehi ish echad min haramatayim tzofim mehar Ephraim ushmo Elkanah. How does the story of Shimshon begin? Vahi ish echad mitzora memishpachat adani ushmo Manoach. Exactly the same beginning. V'chem be'Avraham k'tiv echad be'Avraham, Yisrael k'tiv u'mikam chayisogay echad ba'aretz, v'chem be'Elkana. All the examples of where the word echad means extraordinary, unique, special. What about the phrase ushmo Manoach? There too the Medrash says, harishayim kodnim lishmam. Whenever you have a name of a wicked person in Tanakh, their name comes before the word name. For example, Naval Shmo, or Goliath Shmo. His name was Goliath, but in Hebrew you can reverse subject predicate. So Goliath Shmo, Sheva ben Bichri Shmo, Ava Hatzadikim Shman Kodmam. But Hatzadikim, you always put the word their name was first. Ushmo Elkana, Ushmo Yishai, Ushmo Boaz, Ushmo Mordechai, Ushmo Manoach. In comparison to their creator, Ushmi Hashem, none of that. So, the impression you get from these midrashim
is a very different person.
In other words, I have two completely different perspectives on how to view Manoach, which I actually saw in the Gemara in Erevin, right? Whether Vayelech Acharei Ishto was negative or not. I have two perspectives of completely different ways of looking at it because the text leaves us hanging with such extraordinary questions. On the one hand, the Malach comes back. Hashem, he prays to Hashem and Hashem responds. We're not talking about an ordinary nobody, right? He prays to Hashem. Hashem says, fine. He sends back the Navi, albeit the Navi comes back or the Malach comes back to repeat the message to Eshel Manoach, but nonetheless comes back at his request. There is this revelation. Not every one of us is zocha to a revelation of a Malach of Hashem. So there is a certain complexity to Manoach's personality. So what do I do with Manoach?
You don't get it from the text.
Excuse me?
You don't get it from the text.
You do get it from the text. You get it from let's say you get it from the context. Mm. You get it from the fact that the Malach appears to him again, that Hashem listens to his prayer, that he's the father of Shimshon. When Manoach and his wife are worried about Shimshon's choice of marriage, you see their response. Vayi ish echad ushmo Manoach. You certainly get it from the tenor of the introduction to the story.
No, it's just that she's a little bit more, maybe has a little higher
nivea. Right, and that's how the last paragraph of that medrash ends. Vayera Malach Hashem ala isha mikana talamed she ishto shemanoach tzadeket hayta shezachta ledaber ima Malach. that she was a righteous person. So even the Malach acknowledges that there's a certain depth to her, perhaps even more than him, but that certainly doesn't leave him leaving him in the dark, in the as an Amar. Having said all of that, we're still left with a gaping question. And the gaping question is, if, especially if he's a tzaddik and he's a righteous person, and he's a good person, then he's, especially if he's all that, why does he need the Navi / Malach to come back? Esha Manoach comes to him and relates to him the Nevuah verbatim. Why does he insist on the Malach's return?
He doesn't trust his wife.
Now, there is a source to support that position.
Of course.
Where? What source?
And it's really extraordinary. It's remarkable. I mean, I put it into the same category as the first source, which says that Manoach is not Ma'aretz, because I think they're both cut from the same cloth. But it's by Midbar Rabbah, source 5. You're going to love this one. I am going to retire after I share this one with you. Vayomer Manoach, Ata Yavod Dvarecha. Manoach says to the Malach, we want to give you a kiddush in your honor. Amar LaManoach, Ad Kan Sheshamati Min Aisha. Everything I heard up until now, I heard
from a woman.
V'hanashim Enam Benot Hora'a. And you can't rely on a woman. V'en Li Smachal Divrein. You can't rely on the words. I want to hear it directly from you. I don't believe her. Maybe she changed the instructions a little bit. Maybe she left something out. Maybe she added something. I'm not sure that I was given the information accurately. And therefore, I want to hear it again. It's really remarkable. Right? Really remarkable. Now, the truth is, there is precedent for the fact that the woman, quote-unquote, changed the instructions by Adam and Chava. Exactly right. There's precedent for it. But I don't think he's talking about Adam and Chava. And I don't think he's thinking about Adam and Chava. I think he's really thinking about the fact that he is confused. He's mystified. And he's convinced that there's something missing. And he wants the Malach to come back. He doesn't believe her. Or he doesn't believe the whole story. Now,
is it that he doesn't believe her, or because she's a woman he can't trust that she got the story
so
straight?
Chazal, so
he doesn't believe her. Wow, we're so lucky. How could it be?
Right. Chazal, in their inimical style, remember the Midrashei Chazal have to, one of the powers of the advantages of Midrashim is both its advantage and disadvantage. Chazal spoke in very symbolic language, and they're reading the story, they're picking up on nuances, and they're reflecting nuances in over simplification or overstating specific issues. Is this an extrapolated attitude that men don't believe their wives because women don't get stories straight? I don't think that Chazal were trying to degrade women in this comment. Nor do I think they were trying to degrade Manoach. What I think they were picking up on is the fact that Manoach felt that really, as it says, oh, Shema Chalfat Vareva, Pichata, Oitibet, that she's not telling him the whole story.
There is a precedent in the Gemara that says, don't teach women Torah because it's teaching you.
Mm-hmm. But that's not this. That's not this. No. That's not this at all.
Message, it would come to him.
No, I don't even think that's the issue. I don't even think it's a function of such an important message it would come to him. I think that's why this line in the Medrash I put in bold, that Shema Pichatat Vareo Oitira, I think he's hearing half a message. And he's intuitively sensing that he's hearing half a message.
Do you think she left something out?
I think she left something out.
Women always do.
Right? And I think she did so in an extraordinary fashion.
So he's
picking it up. He's saying, something's not right here.
Well,
I want to understand what it is. So that's what we're going to go back and reanalyze. That's where we have to go back and reanalyze the text to try to understand, did she leave something out? And if so, why? And what's his beef, so to speak? What's bothering him?
So just why can't he accept
the
message?
The message is not complex.
Well, depends what the what do you consider the message? What do you consider the message? What do you consider? Wait a second. What do you consider the message?
The message is, you know, you're going to have this child.
Whoa. Go on.
And you mustn't eat her.
The restrictions.
Right. And what would
keep
be
the restrictions?
And
the part that's left out is
right.
Why.
One second. We'll get to the part that's left out.
What has to be
jumping the gun?
Yeah.
When he asks for the Navi to come back, when he asks for this repeat vision. What's his request? He says it twice.
What to do with the child?
He says it twice. What to do with this child? Correct? He says it twice.
The extraordinary nature of the child?
Either because of the extraordinary nature of the child or because of the extraordinary instructions to the child, right? Or to the mother. But twice he asks about the child. Pasuk Chet. Vayeta Manoach al Hashem vayomar bi Hashem ishal kim asher shalachta yavonu od eleinu v'yareinu ma na'aseh lanar hayulad. What do we do with this child? Which implies what? He doesn't ask. Think about the question. He's not saying, let the Navi come back and prove to me that my wife's going to have a child. That wasn't his question.
He's not questioning that.
His question was, what do we do with this child? What are we going to do with this child? Secondly, in Pasuk Yudbet, when the Navi, when the Malach actually comes back, Vayoma Manach, Ata Yavod Varecha, Ma Yiyem Mishpat HaNar U'Maaseyu. What are the laws of this child and his deeds and his actions and his destiny? What do I do with them? Nothing in his question was about her, or about the birth. The question was all about
the child.
So I'll show you something extraordinary. One of the advantages of computers is that we can take text, copy, and paste. And when you do that, you get to line things up in a way that you can see them that you couldn't necessarily otherwise see them in a linear fashion. And again, we may not have enough, so you just have to, if you don't, you'll share them.
So is this cheating, cutting and pasting?
Yes. But once we have the manager, tells us where to go so we can get away with it. On the right-hand side, remember I divided it into three parts, part one, part two, and part three. Essentially, I divided the dialogue about the words of the Malach into three parts. The words of the Malach are reflected three times, just as the story of Eliezer is reflected in Parshat Chayisara three times. Right? There's the Malach's words to Eshet Manoach. There's the Eshet Manoach's repeat of the Malach's words to her husband. And then there's the second, I won't repeat my joke, there's the second words of the Malach to Eshet Manoach. To Manoach. Column one. Divrei Malach al Eshet Manoach. Vayera Malach Hashem al Eishah v'yomer elea hine na'at akara v'lo yaladet v'yarit v'yaladet ben. Today you are barren. Without child, you will conceive and have a child. V'yata hishamina, guard yourself. Now, from this point forward, al tishti yain v'shechar v'al tochli kol tamei, do not drink wine, do not eat anything tamei, ki yinach harav yoladet ben, you are going to conceive a child, have a child, umar alo yale al rosho, you're going to cut his hair, ki nazir elokim yeh hanar min abaten, child will be a nazir from birth, v'hu yachel lo shiyah et Yisrael miyad plishtim, destined to save Israel from the hands of the Plishtim. A. B. V'tavoi isha v'tomer li'isha le'mor. She comes running to her husband. She says, Isha l'kim ba'elayu mareu k'mara malach ha'l'kim nara ma'od. Great. Navi. Looked like a malach. Sub-dialogue. Lo shiltiyu me'ei mizeh v'hu shmei lo'i gidli. I didn't converse with him. He didn't tell me his name. He just came to me and told me a nevuah. Vayomali, what did this malach say to me? Hinach harav yaladet ben, in parallel exactly to the phrase, hinach harav yarit yaladet ben, or ki hinach harav yaladet ben in pasuk hei. You are going to conceive and have a child. Ve'ata, if you compare the two lines, line for line, I just put them next to each other. Ve'ata, al tishti yayim v'shechar, ve'al tochli kol tuma. Don't drink wine and don't eat that which is prohibited. You. Ki nazir alokim ye'anayim in a beten. Because the child will be a nazir from birth ad yomoto. She leaves out a very interesting piece of information, which is... Before that.
No, don't cut his hair.
Before that,
don't bring a
she
razor.
Leaves out the instruction not to take a razor to his head. It almost reads, if I didn't have column A, if I didn't have column A, it's really hard for us to do this, but think about what the instructions sound like if I take away column A. Ata al tishti yayim v'shechar v'al tochli kol tumah ki nazir elokim yeh anar min habeten. What she reflects to him is
the drinking.
On
her restriction of drinking. And that's all.
Not about
him. There is not a word about the child. Not a word about the child not being allowed to cut his hair. Not a word about the... And the most important piece she leaves out, of course, is his destiny. V'hu yachel oshiyat yisrael miyad plishtim.
Maybe,
but we'll see what the malach reflects. And we'll see what's so extraordinary here. But she leaves out two critical pieces of information. Mm-hmm. Essentially, she leaves out all the information that is about
the child.
She only speaks about what the malach told her. Now, when Manoach responds, what's his request?
What do I do
with the child? He's perfectly willing to accept what she says about her, it sounds like.
He's questioning.
But he's never told what to do with his child. She left that out. So it's extraordinary. A Navi comes to my wife in the field and says to her that she's got to live like a Nazir for a year because she's going to have a child who's going to be a Nazir. There's no precedent for that. It's never happened. No human being in history of the Jewish people has ever been told to be a Nazir from Betan. Why? What do I do with him? What's special? What's going on here?
But why would and she leave that out?
That's the question we're going to explore next week.
Well, maybe she
why she leaves it out, we will need a shear for.
Yeah, I think she was intuitive to her husband, regarding her husband.
I want to hold the why. I will give her all the credit in the world. Believe me, she's the hero of the story, and we will leave her as the hero of the story. But we're not finished yet. Column three. Because look what happens when the Navi comes back. Remember the request. The request was pasuk chet vayeta manoach al Hashem vayomer bi Hashem isha alakim eshishalachta yavona od elenu v'yarenu mana asela nara yulad. What do I do with the child? The malach comes back. Right, she comes back to the malach comes back to her in the field. She goes running back to it. So for the second time, the malach comes to her and not to him. And then finally, the malach he says to the malach in pasuk bet, which is not on the page. My apologies. For the second time, what do I do with the child? Twice he's asked, what do I do with the child? And then the navi's answer. Whatever I told the woman as far as her restrictions, she must observe. She may not drink wine or eat grape. She may not drink wine, she may not eat grape, she may not eat anything that's tameh. Whatever I instructed her, she'll guard herself, protect herself, conduct herself. The extraordinary part of it is, what does the Navi say? What does the Malach say to Manoach? Exactly what Eshet Manoach said to Manoach. Not a word about the child. The Malach doesn't answer the question. The question was asked twice, what do I do with the child? And twice the Malach ignored it. The only thing the Malach said to him was, I gave your wife very specific instructions. those instructions she must obey. And you're left with a gaping hole of poor Manoach. Poor Manoach is left in the dark. His wife leaves him in the dark, and the Navi leaves him in the Malach leaves him in the dark.
It was a conspiracy.
I think it's really remarkable piece, and it's for that reason that Chazal picked up in Manoach's question, in his attitude, in his frustration, that he is being left out in the left in the dark. He is being left out of a critical piece of information, and I think the answer is that he was, and I don't think he was ever told by Eshet Manoach at that point.
For a reason.
But Rabbi, and the reason she leaves out that information, critical information. But the reason she leaves it out, we will explore Bezrat Hashem next week. Once we've set it all up, now we can put the pieces of the puzzle together, try to understand Eshet Manoach, then the story, I think, will become a lot clearer.
We're not told anything when it says Kinezero, Kineyehanar, Minhabatan, Ayomako. I mean, we're still told a little bit.
We're told a little bit, but again, if I leave out the razor information, all she's telling him is that why I have to observe Nezirut from now is because the child status of a Nazir begins in utero. Right? That's essentially what she's saying to him. I can't drink wine. When you make Kiddush next Friday night, I'm not allowed to drink the wine. Why? Because the Navi told me. Remember, who's in charge here? And the husband of the house is usually the one who's instructions. She's under his household. But she's following a regimen given to her by a complete stranger. And that requires an explanation. So Bezrat Hashem next week, we will hopefully resolve the story of Manoach and his wife.